Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Word on the street on Off the Ball.
Brennan Kurt is with the Irish rugby team this summer. You'll be happy to hear Suzanne Essel.
Thank God. We're building into World Cup 2027. No more quarterfinal curse.
Word on the street. Available now on Go Loud app.
To hear the full version of the Sunday paper review, become an Off the Ball member now.
You and the Star, Roy, wrote about DJ Carey last week in your column. And look, there's more stuff from Tommy Conlon today in the Sunday Independent. Mark Gallagher has written very powerfully in the Irish Daily Mail, as has Philip Lanigan, about DJ Carey. And I watched the Primetime documentary during the week, and it's still, with the Eimear Ní Bhreathnán book, The Dodger, which would probably be a Christmas bestseller, of a quite a dark story. It still really is. It feels the story that's out there at the moment as the main story in the country.
Yeah, I think it's a personal story for everybody, and that's why it has such resonance. I lost both my parents to cancer, and I wrote about it last week, and I found myself literally shaking with anger as I was writing at times. And I think Carey has disgusted many, not so much because he shamelessly mined the compassion of so many for financial reward, but because he deployed cancer as the drill bit to excavate their sympathy. I mean, he essentially used that C word, those six letters that a lot of people can't actually speak. He used that as a personal ATM. Anybody who has seen somebody shaking with fear as they get a diagnosis, Mark Gallagher, who we all know, a journalist with the Mail, has fought cancer twice and writes passionately about it today. I saw my dad lose his sense of himself as a man as he had to get intense radiotherapy treatment for prostate cancer. My mother's last days, essentially, she died of colonic cancer, and in between periods of violent vomiting was just trauma, wondering when the next dose of vomiting was going to come. I had the great eye-opening pleasure of visiting with All-Ireland winning teams to Temple Street and Crumlin Children's Hospital the morning after All-Ireland's. Anybody who's walked in to a cancer ward with young children, their hair gone, full of tubes, and yet they still manage to smile and show that childish, innocent joy when Sam Maguire or Liam McCarthy comes around. I wonder, I don't know, in any of the morning after any of the five All-Irelands that Kilkenny won while DJ was playing, I don't know whether he was amongst the people who went in there the next morning. I desperately hope he wasn't, because if he looked those children in the eye, saw these kids fighting for their lives, maybe days, weeks, months to live, and he was able to do what he did, I can just call that grotesquely subhuman. Mark Gallagher today, he says, because there is nothing like sitting in a consultant's room and hearing those six letters, even with the advances in medical science, it remains terrifying. But it is worse for those closest to us. When my cancer came back, it was during COVID. And what I remember from those days is the worried look in my wife's eyes as she drove me to Beaumont for radiation treatment. We had our son by that stage, so the uncertainty revolved around him. It's the people who are around you who are most vulnerable. And that's why all of the terrible things that Carey did, tapping up Ger Kirwan, who himself, his wife Mags, had been diagnosed, is perhaps the most horrific. I knew DJ reasonably well during the prime of his career. I would have spoke to him many, many times. I generally would try and see a situation and look for a reason to be sympathetic to somebody. I cannot find one grain of sympathy for DJ in this. I wish I could, but I can't. It is one of the most disgusting exploitations of trust I have ever experienced in my life. And 5.5 years, I don't think anyone will argue that he doesn't deserve every minute of it.
Powerfully said, Roy. Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's absolutely nothing you can disagree with there. Tommy Conlon has a good piece as well in the Sunday Independent. And he opens it by saying, this is probably not the best week to be admitting that DJ Carey is my favourite hurler of all time. Knowing what we know now, maybe one should change the present tense to the past. DJ Carey was my favourite hurler of all time. That's just a really good double page spread, just sort of wrestling with the, you know, DJ as the player to sort of DJ as he is now and everything that's gone on. There's a couple of lines in it, just one passage here. Tommy writes, learning to accept that these masters are themselves horribly flawed is an essential life lesson. It's a form of arrested development to invest excessive trust or admiration in them as people. To put them on a pedestal is to sanitize them, to strip them of their humanity, to bleach them of their weakness and vanities and fallibilities. Inevitably, one's illusions will be shattered. And a little bit later on in the piece, as I said, it's over a two-page read. It's a really good read. He mentions here about DJ Carey, Tommy does. He says, it was a 10-year exhibition of sociopathic opportunity. But hand in hand with this devious coldness was a sort of gormless innocence because he routinely publicised his deceptions. One day he was terminally ill, the next he was out playing a round of golf. One minute he was supposed to be in Seattle, the next he was out dining in a local hotel or restaurant for everyone to see. Normally if somebody is living a double life, one strand of that life remains private, sealed off in the shadows, or so one would think.
I think Tommy makes a very valid point that Paul highlights, and that is that we elevate sports people because of their capacity to make magic on a rectangular grass or in a boxing ring or aboard a horse. We assume that then they must have superhuman traits in their character and in the way they carry themselves in life. And oftentimes that isn't the case at all. They remain human. They have an exceptional gift, but it doesn't mean necessarily that they're exceptional people. We always used to hear, never meet your heroes. I don't necessarily agree with that, but oftentimes when you do meet your hero and expect the character to match the capacity to deliver as an athlete, you are a
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Disappointed, but this, of course, is on a completely different scale.
Just one other line, exactly what Roy is saying there. In Tommy Conlon's piece, he's saying, from Babe Ruth to Pelé to Muhammad Ali and 10,000 other stars, we the masses have always flocked to touch the hem of their garments. Mostly we did not know what they were like in the private lives, and mostly we did not want to know either.
Interesting from Philip Lanigan. I think this is important to say as well, and I quote here from Philip in his piece about the downfall of DJ. Cancer Conman spun the fame he earned on the field into a cruel and shameful web of lies. Like he says here, the only convicted criminal in my contacts list. A part of me wonders whether to hit the call button and see where DJ Carey's old mobile number connects to, who, if anyone, picks up, if there's still that familiar voice asking you to leave a message. I mean, Dennis O'Brien, the businessman, detailed the breathtakingly almost cunning deceit, and that he was completely duped by DJ Carey, a successful businessman. But this is important, I think, to reference as well in Philip's piece. It shouldn't be forgotten either, the damage done and the hurt caused closer to home. Mikey Carey's grown into a key player for Kilkenny in the halfback line, but has had to tug out under a national spotlight. Imagine how hard this has been for him, his brother Sean, or for their mother Christine.
Well, I think when I was saying earlier, I couldn't find it in myself to have any sympathy for DJ himself. He was entirely the author of his own downfall. I have huge, huge sympathy for Mikey. And I remember when being at the Leinster final this year, and I was watching him for a lot of the match, just imagining what must be going through his mind. Obviously, he has absolutely nothing to do with this. He's a young man of impeccable character and an exceptional sportsman. But by association, there's something almost tattooed to his being that he doesn't deserve to be there at all. It must be very difficult to step out. I mean, everybody he knows who he is. Do they avoid the conversation? Do they tiptoe around it? Do strangers talk to him about it? It's very hard to walk away from it, I'd imagine, for him. I'd say it's with him every waking hour.
I was watching the primetime documentary on DJ Kerry during the week, and there's a element of it which stuck with me for a few days. There was a story about Joe Goff, a priest from Gorn, who idolised DJ Kerry, and he had a friend called Mary Rafter. And Joe Goff died a few years ago, and Mary Rafter detailed how he gave Kerry money, a lot of money, and he would keep on asking for it, and he would there'd be a delay and a delay and a delay and a delay, and he died. A priest, a man of the cloth, as it were. So it was just pervaded everything, really. Pervaded everybody he encountered, it seemed, when he was engaged in this deception for, what, about a decade. Some people could see through it. Some people, I mean, who, like, if you're told by somebody that you have cancer, who's going to disbelieve you? So the human, the first thing as a human you're going to do is, okay, well, what can I do to help?
Well, Nudie Hughes died in the last week, and a three-time All-Star, perhaps Monaghan's greatest ever footballer. He fought cancer with humour and resilience. He was wonderful in fundraising. He inspired so many people who also have cancer by his courage. For people like that to juxtapose the Kerry situation onto a legitimate case of a guy with not as big a profile, but a very high GA profile, and to see the good work he has done. Kerry has made it more difficult for people who fundraise for cancer, because there's always now going to be an asterisk next to the question, can I have money? And that is a terrible, terrible inevitability. I won't name names, but in the last year, maybe 2 years ago, a number of friends of mine were playing golf in Mount Juliet. They came in and were having something to eat. DJ was there, and he knew one of the individuals and came over and introduced himself. And that individual introduced the other three people who were playing. One of them gave DJ a card and said, if I can ever do anything for you. He got a phone call the next morning looking for money. After a 90-second conversation, never, ever, ever met this guy before, the very next morning.
I think one of the, in Mark Gallagher's piece, and we've already touched on it there, Mark obviously with his own battles that he's with cancer, but he writes here in the Mail that tapping up Jer Kerwin is perhaps the most horrific of all the terrible things that Kerry has done. And I think obviously Jer had been working with the Kilkenny development squads for a while, and his own wife Mags had been diagnosed, and you know they got 4,000 euros from the family. But as Mark says, it wasn't the most amount of money perhaps that came out of this. But it's, in Mark's words in the paper today, it's perhaps the most horrific story that he can relate to anyway.
Mark concludes, and I would advise anybody to read Mark Gallagher's piece in the Mail today to understand the pain that deceit causes to genuine cancer sufferers, people who've had someone who has died of cancer. He concludes with, I think of all the wonderful staff at the Mater, Beaumont and St. Luke's who helped me through both bouts of this awful disease. And we didn't even mention DJ's yarn about the payout he was awaiting from James's, a completely falsified story suggesting that the treatment he had received was somehow less than excellent. I think of all those cancer patients I met in those three hospitals, feeling uncertain about their future, many of whom marvelled at Kerry's talent on a hurling field. We all should feel betrayed. And I thought Tommy's piece, Separating the Art from the Artist, I would completely agree with. But at the same time, if you look at the Mount Rushmore of hurling now, and you see the sculpt of DJ Kerry, you see a man with a begging bowl in one hand and a phone charger up his nose.
Well, you don't see him on the Kilkenny mural, which has been done recently. He's not on the mural anymore. So, I mean, he's created this position. It wasn't an isolated incident. It wasn't a momentary lapse of judgment, something out of character. This was over a decade. It was almost pathological deception. Yeah. People play sport for a sense of team, for individual fulfillment, to be competitive, to win, and to be proud of themselves and for their families. And for supporters or people from a parish or a community or a county, and the GA is very much connected to the community, it is part of what I one's identity, be to be a supporter, to go to Croke Park and put on the black and amber jersey and to be a proud Kilkenny hurling supporter. So it's hard for us not to believe that great skill, which makes us feel joy, is not performed by a great human being. You're thinking the great skill, well, that person, just because they perform great skill that has made my day so much brighter, they must be a great person to be able to perform this skill and do something otherworldly on a sporting pitch. But that's not always the case. I think DJ Carey is the darkest example of this. And your heroes are not sports stars. We have to get away from the sporting exceptionalism just because somebody does something amazing. And if they can, if they're seen as an amazing person, great, that's a bonus. But this thing about sporting exceptionalism, I think, needs to be nipped in the bud a bit, because your heroes are your family, your friends, your relatives, if you're close to any relatives, the people that look out for you, that ring you, that text you when you're not looking for anything. And that, I think, is one of the things we need to take out of this horrifying story.
And it's funny, related to that, I think some of the most popular of Irish sportsmen are precisely because they have exhibited a vulnerability. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being vulnerable. I would argue that Paul McGrath is probably the most beloved Irish athlete of the last 30, 40, 50 years, along with maybe Katie Taylor. And I think people saw that Paul had had a terrible fight with addiction. I think every mother wanted to hug him. I think a lot of men related, having not been in dressing rooms and seen people on their own teams that couldn't, for a long number of years, talk about their weaknesses. And Paul became loved from that. So it is all right to have kinks in your character, to have addictions and fight. We've seen the huge, huge advances in the treatment of mental health. And I think this just shows that badness can thrive. And as you say, somebody that makes magic when they step into the arena, and in so doing, do improve our lives, it does not mean that when they get back into civilian clothes, they are still Superman.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off The Ball member now.
Word on the street on Off The Ball.
Carlin Curd is with the Irish rugby team this summer. You'll be happy to hear Susanna. So.
Thank God. We're building into World Cup 2027. No more quarterfinal curse.
Word on the street. Available now on Go Loud App.